Well, welcome, brethren, another Sabbath day, and we always look forward to the Sabbath where we can hear more of God's Word and reflect on it and help us to grow and to overcome and to become more like Him. We know we are supposed to put our trust and confidence in God at all times. I'm not inclined, for the most part, to refer or quote other religious leaders for inspiration for messages I give, nor say anything contrary about the person, but found this one compelling to use as a backdrop for today's message. I want to begin today's message with a quote from an August 23rd article by written into Billy Graham in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. The question was posed, "I know we're supposed to trust God when hard times come, but how can we keep trusting God when nothing seems to change?" I think we've all been there. "My husband lost his job 2 years ago, and it's really been a trying time for us." Here's the answer. Your question points to a very real problem I suspect we've all experienced in one way or another, that God loves us and cares for us when things are going well. But when life turns against us, it becomes much harder to keep the faith. I might want to refer to, for later, if you want to seek it out, we have them on the table over there. You can have living faith, and that's really a good help. Why should we still keep trusting God even when nothing seems to change? And it looks like He isn't even listening. Because no matter how many things change have taken place in your lives, God has not changed. The Bible statement is true. "I, the Lord, do not change." Malachi 3:6. If God doesn't change, then it means His promises don't change either. He promised to be with you in the past, and He still is. He promised to guide you in the past, and He still will. Know His promises and study His promises and believe His promises. And trust in His promises. We can always trust that. In the Bible, He has given us His very great and precious promises. You can find that 2 Peter 1, verse 4. I won't turn there. Continuing in the article, the answer, "We live in difficult economic times, and we all need to pray for those who are struggling because they've lost a job. We also need to pray for our nation's political and business leaders." And this last week really puts that to the forefront. We do need to pray for them, that they'd seek God's instructions. "But pray especially for your family, that you won't get discouraged, but will be open to whatever God has for you right now, even job retraining or volunteer work. Don't let your faith be consumed by your circumstances, but rather let your circumstances be overcome by your faith." End of the article. Well, there seems to be a little bit of a missing dimension here in the answers given above. The answers was good, but I think there's more to it than that. We're told in Jesus' own words to trust in Him to provide all our needs and how. Now turn with me to Matthew 6, beginning of verse 5. I have it in my notes, so if you turn there. Matthew 6, 5 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door to private, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And then by parenthesis, openly. Well, keep your finger here, or a marker, as we'll be coming back to Matthew 6 in a little bit. In James 4, let's turn there. James 4 tells us in verse 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." How many times do we do that? We ask God for something, but we want something for ourselves. We don't ask for what he wants us to have. In the last part, verse 6, says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We need to come humbly before God through Jesus Christ. And remembering this, in the name of Jesus Christ is not a footnote at the end of a prayer. A lot of times it seems like that's what it is. But it's through Jesus Christ that we have access to God the Father. No need to turn there, but I'll read to you from John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whenever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's not for own benefit to glorify us. It's to glorify God through his Son. Now, continuing in James 4 and verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let's go back now to Matthew 6, beginning in verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need even before you ask him. In verse 9 through 13, Jesus gives us the sample prayer as an outline. Beginning of verse 9, it said, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How great is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, today, our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll go on down to verse 19. It says, through 21, shows us where our treasures should be. This is where we should be putting our treasures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust can destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or worldly riches both. There's nothing wrong with having riches. God blesses us. He wants us to be abundant, have abundant riches. But if we put our riches before God, then that's not right. You know, maybe the riches, you know, if I work on the Sabbath, I can make double money on the Sabbath as I do the rest of the week. That's where my riches are. But if you don't care for that, you care for God's kingdom. That's what you should be looking for. Verse 25 says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll put on it. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? Now dropping down to verse 31, it says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles of the world in general seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. What does he say? Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And where it says here, do not worry, and all these things shall be added to you. It doesn't mean all these, absolutely everything we want will be added to us. Our needs will be given to us. You know, he can provide our clothing and our food and what we need. Not necessarily all our carnal desires, you know. Remember Malachi 3:6, first part tells us, I am the Lord and I do not change. And the greatest promise is he cannot change and he does not lie. And Hebrews 13, if you want to turn there, there's a few who trusted God through faith, another word for trust. In verse 1, now faith, I'll call it here godly trust, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of seen things not seen. When we ask for something in prayer, in faith, we cannot see it, but yet we trust that God will provide it according to His will. Verse 6, but without faith, that's a trust in God, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, believe that God is, that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Verse 9, or 7, Noah prepared an ark to saving his family. Now, he had to trust God that he is going to do what he said he's going to do. I don't know too many people would stick around 100 years building a boat when there wasn't any water to float it in, you know. Abraham went out from where he was, had been all his life, to a place he didn't know where he was going. But he trusted that God would show him, and God blessed him for it. Moses was put in a basket for trusting parents. And he chose to suffer the affliction of his people rather than to be take on the pleasures of sin. He could have just stayed where he was and, you know, muck him up, you know, in the government or whatever, and had all those all the things that he wanted carnally or physically. He chose to suffer with his people because he knew that was the right thing to do. Now, these are just a few of the people that were faithful in trusting God. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, trusting God, did not receive the promise. They're all dead in the grave right now. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. They're in the grave. And when that first resurrection comes, they will be raised. Then we will join them. Well, I actually get to see them be raised up. You know, that's not apart from us. We'll be at the same time. Well, knowing that God knows what we need, even before we need it, keep in mind that He can and He does answer our prayers. Never too early and never too late, according to His will. There are times when it seems He answers our prayers before we even finish asking Him. Sometimes the answer is not yet, not right now, because we need to learn or do something in order to really appreciate or benefit from it. Then there are the times when the answer is no. The answer is no because it would harm us or be detrimental to us as an end result. Remember, God knows what is best for us. And then there is the saying that says, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. I think we've all probably been there one time or another. There is a country song that says, thank God for unanswered prayers, you know. But this may not be God's will, but rather your own self-will desire to have what we want apart from God's will, resulting in our need to learn a very valuable and sometimes a very expensive or hurtful lesson. Remember, God can give us all our needs and our desires according to His will and wants to give us His greatest gift. You're going to find that if you turn to Luke 12. Verse 32 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you his kingdom. The question at the beginning of the message was, and it still is, who do you trust?